Bicatra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Bicatra AI. Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
So today we're tackling a word, a concept, really, that, well, it probably brings some pretty strong images to mind for most people. Anarchism.
Oh, yeah. That word is definitely loaded. You think masked agitators, maybe chaos in the streets.
Exactly. Burning cars, you know. But our job today is kind of peel back those layers. We want to get past that Hollywood image.
And we're doing that by diving into Colin Ward's work. His book, simply titled Anarchism, it completely challenges that whole idea. It suggests anarchism isn't about chaos at all.
Right. It's not about political extremes in the way we usually think. Well, Ward presents it as, well, a really thought-out, practical way of thinking about how humans can organize themselves.
Mm-hmm. It's all about voluntary cooperation, mutual aid, people managing their own affairs.
And that's what makes it feel so relevant right now, doesn't
it?
I think so. I mean, you listening right now, you're probably navigating this world full of information coming at you from all sides. Maybe there's a growing sense of skepticism about, you know, the big institutions, governments, massive companies.
Yeah, that trust definitely feels shaky sometimes.
So if we're questioning that top-down control, where do we look for other ways? Ward basically says, look around you. These alternatives, they're already here, operating, often just under the surface.
Okay, so let's talk about the man himself, Colin Ward. He's our guide here. And he wasn't your typical academic, was he? Locked away somewhere just writing theory.
No, not at all. And that's really, really important for understanding where he's coming from. Colin Ward lived 1924 to 2010, a British writer, definitely an anarchist think, but, and this is the key bit, he was also trained as an architect.
Yeah.
And a town planner. He worked in those fields.
Okay, so his ideas weren't just abstract. They came from the ground up, literally, from how people build and live. Precisely. Yeah, his insights were rooted in decades of watching real people do real things. Housing co-ops getting started, community gardens just sort of popping up, people figuring stuff out together when the official channels failed.
Yeah.
He edited this journal called Anarchy for about 10 years, and the whole focus was anarchism in action. He wanted to show how ordinary folks, you know, naturally use these cooperative, non-hierarchical methods every single day just to solve problems. For him, anarchism wasn't some big future goal. It was more like a basic human thing that authority tends to squash.
That perspective alone feels pretty radical. It shifts the whole conversation. Anarchism isn't about tearing down. It's about building better ways to connect.
Exactly, building up. So his main idea, the central thesis, it's actually quite simple, but profound. He says anarchism is a practical theory of organization. It's based on people choosing to work together, not some impossible dream. He's exploring how we can have maximum individual freedom, but still have a cohesive society, you know, without needing bosses or rulers.
And that core insight you mentioned about it already existing. Yeah, the idea that an anarchist society isn't something you, like, build from scratch after a revolution. He says it's constantly being built and rebuilt within the shell of the existing coercive state.
Within the shell.
Mm-hmm. And he has this amazing metaphor for it, the seed beneath the snow.
The seed beneath the snow, I like that.
It captures it perfectly, I think. The state, all that centralized power, that's the heavy, cold snow. It stops this natural human urge towards cooperation that's the seed from really breaking through and becoming the main way we organize things. His book is basically a field guide for finding those seeds and maybe helping them grow.
It's clever how the book is structured, too, because it knows about the baggage, right? It starts by tackling the stereotypes head on.
Yep. Dismantles the myths first. Then it offers this really sharp critique of institutions, the state, the law. And only then does it pivot to the positive stuff, showing the evidence, the examples of how these principles actually work in real life.
Right, let's dig into that structure a bit. First part, he's redefining order, because anarchy sounds like chaos, but he goes back to the roots.
Exactly, the Greek anarchos. It just means without a ruler. It doesn't mean without order. That's maybe the single biggest misunderstanding.
So order is possible without rulers.
Ward argues it's not just possible, it's preferable. Order should come from people agreeing together, voluntarily, not from some authority figure cracking the whip. Anarchists aren't against organization at all. They're against hierarchy. They see the state as the main thing getting in the way of real functioning order.
He calls the state parasitic, doesn't he? Something that feeds off society rather than serving it.
Yeah, that's a strong part of his critique. It gathers all the power to the center. It claims the sole right to use violence. And in doing so, it often crushes local independent efforts. It sort of conditions us to think we need it to manage ourselves.
And this critique goes beyond just the government, right? He talks about law, nationalism, even religion sometimes.
He sees them as often reinforcing state power. We should probably unpack that a bit. His view on law, for instance, is pretty bracing.
Yeah, quite harsh. He basically says law is mostly there to protect the property and interests of the people already in power. Not really about impartial justice for everyone.
Right.
But, okay, playing devil's advocate here. If you don't have codified law, how do you enforce agreements? How do you protect vulnerable groups from just the whim of the local majority?
This is a fair question. Ward would probably point out that historically, most day-to-day dispute resolution actually happens informally. Community pressure, mediation, stuff like that. He felt that when formal law steps in, it often gets rigid, prioritizes abstract rules or property over actual human needs.
And nationalism, that gets a similar treatment, seen as artificial.
Very much so. He sees it as a tool, something the state uses to get people ready for wars, to create these us versus them divides that aren't really real. If you reject the state, you kind of had to reject that forced national identity too.
But again, the practical question, doesn't that shared identity, even if flawed, provide something like solidarity for big projects or defense?
Ward would argue that genuine solidarity comes from shared interests and mutual aid, not from a flag imposed from above. Think about international workers' movements or how people help each other across borders after disasters. That, for him, is real solidarity. It doesn't need a passport. Okay, so if we critique the state, the law, what's the alternative for organizing complex stuff? That's the big question Ward tackles next. His answer revolves around networks. Networks of networks, really, based on two key ideas. Free association.
Meaning you can join or leave groups freely.
Exactly. And self-managing groups. Groups that run themselves without needing external bosses.
But then we hit that classic problem, right? Scale. How do you possibly manage something huge like, I don't know, a national railway system? Or coordinate a response to a pandemic? Surely you need some kind of central body.
Ah, but Ward says there's an anarchist answer to scale. It's called bottom-up federalism. It's an idea from thinkers like Proudhon. It's the organizational key.
Bottom-up federalism. How's that different from, say, the federal government we have now? Doesn't power just end up at the top again?
Well, here's the crucial bit. In Ward's model, local autonomous communities or groups coordinate for bigger tasks by sending delegates to federal councils. But, and this is key, these delegates have very specific, recallable mandates.
Recallable mandates?
Yes. They aren't elected to go off and make their own decisions. They're sent with precise instructions from the group that sent them. Their job is coordination, carrying out the group's will. If they step outside that mandate, boom, they're recalled immediately.
Okay, so they're more like messengers or project managers than politicians.
That's a good way to put it. It prevents that creep of centralized power. They execute tasks. They don't accumulate authority.
Interesting.
And the great thing about Ward is he doesn't just leave it as theory. He points to real-world stuff. Think about Alcoholics Anonymous. It's massive, global, incredibly effective.
And totally non-hierarchical.
Completely. No central command. Just mutual support, voluntary association. It works. Or look at worker cooperatives. The Mondragon Corporation in Spain is a huge network of businesses.
Run by the workers themselves.
Owned and managed by the workers. It proves large-scale enterprise can function democratically without the standard capitalist hierarchy.
Right.
Even the digital world gives us examples. The whole open-source software movement. Linux, Wikipedia. That's thousands of people collaborating voluntarily, sharing freely, building incredibly complex, vital systems. No central boss telling them what to do. It's pure mutual aid and free association in action.
Okay, so if we try to boil Ward's whole project down, what are the absolute core themes? Maybe three key takeaways for someone listening.
Okay, three themes.
Yeah.
First one, definitely. Anarchism is a natural human tendency. Ward genuinely believed cooperation is how humans operate by default. We see it all the time. People spontaneously organizing after a disaster, kids figuring out games together. He argues hierarchy isn't natural. It's learned, it's imposed, and often it actually gets in the way of solving problems efficiently.
That really flips the script. Instead of asking, how do we create order? He's asking, why do we tolerate these inefficient hierarchies?
Exactly. Okay, theme two, the prefigurative principle. This is huge for Ward. It means you don't wait for some big revolution down the road. You start building the new society now within the existing one.
Take those seeds beneath the snow.
Precisely. It's about practical anarchism. Show. Don't just tell. Create working examples of cooperation and self-management today. That's how change happens. through positive demonstration, not just destruction.
And the third theme, it has to be about economics, right? Moving past the usual options.
Yes. Theme three, economics without exploitation. Ward wasn't just critiquing the state. He was looking for alternatives to both capitalism and state-controlled socialism. He explored things like mutual banks, worker co-ops.
Mutual banks? Mm-hmm. How do they differ?
Well, basically, their goal isn't maximizing profit for outside shareholders. It's serving the needs of their members, the people who use the bank. Money circulates based on need and contribution, aiming for, you know, human well-being and efficiency, not just lining pockets or bureaucratic control.
Ford really had a way with words, too. Let's maybe touch on a few memorable lines that kind of crystallize these ideas. I know the one about prefiguration always sticks with me. The anarchist approach is to build the new society within the shell of the old.
Yeah, that one's so powerful because it empowers you, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It means what you do today, organizing in your community, maybe starting a co-op, that's not just practice. That is the change happening right now.
And his critique of the state, there's that really stark quote he uses.
Ah, yes. He borrows it from Nietzsche, but uses it so effectively. The state is the coldest of all cold monsters. Oof. It just captures that feeling of dealing with impersonal bureaucracy, right? How state logic can override basic human needs and connections.
Definitely felt that one before. And then there's the optimism, the hopefulness in that seed metaphor. The seeds of anarchism are everywhere. They need only the right conditions to grow.
It's such a hopeful vision. It suggests freedom isn't something alien we have to invent. It's already within us, within our communities. Mm. We just need to clear away the obstacles, the snow, that are stopping it from flourishing.
Which leads perfectly to that other great line about not needing one single answer.
Right. What we need is not a grand design, but 1,001 experiments in living. That's his stand against dogma. Let people figure out what works for them locally. Trust human creativity.
Okay, so this all sounds great, but let's make it super concrete. Ward was all about the practical. How can someone listening actually apply these ideas day to day?
I think the most direct way is to shift your focus. Less worrying about national politics you can't control, more community action, see a local need, don't wait for the council or some big organization.
Just start something.
Yeah. Gather some neighbors, start that tool library, that food co-op, that mutual aid group for people who are sick. The moment you organize voluntarily with others to meet a need, you're practicing anarchist principles. Stop waiting. Start doing.
And at work. We can apply the critique of hierarchy there, too.
Absolutely. If your workplace feels inefficient, soul-crushing, Ward would say, look at the top-down structure. Is that really working? Maybe advocate for more, say, for employees and decisions. Support businesses that are worker-owned if you can. Just questioning that default boss-employee relationship is a start. Recognizing it's a choice, not a law of nature.
And it even applies closer to home, right? In personal relationships.
Definitely. Maybe the deepest application. Ward's ideas push us away from relationships based on obligation, dominance, or fixed roles towards mutual respect, genuine voluntary commitment. How do you handle disagreements? Through dialogue or one person laying down the law. It's about creating little pockets of freedom and responsibility right where you live.
It feels like, ultimately, Ward's work gives us back a sense of agency. We realize we're not just passive subjects. We actually do cooperate like this already. Yeah. That seed beneath the snow idea. It's powerful. Knowing that capacity for freedom, for self-organization is there. We just have to, you know, choose to nurture it, expand those spaces where we relate as equals.
That's exactly it. That's the big takeaway for me. Realizing that good, humane ways of organizing society don't have to be imposed by some authority. They bubble up naturally from people working together. It really challenges that core assumption that we need the cold monster to keep order. Makes anarchism feel less like a scary ism and more like just common sense sometimes.
A really powerful thought to sit with. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.